Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now this month, France made the decision to ban short-haul domestic flights under a government decree. Any journeys that are possible in less than 2.5 hours by train, they cannot now be taken as a flight in France. The measures will also result in a crackdown on the use of private jets for short journeys in a bid to make transport greener and fairer for the population. Well, here we are in a country where we can get from Malinhead to Mizzen in around 8 hours by car. So do we really need regional flights? To discuss this further, I'm joined in the studio by Padraig O'Cadia, who is founder of Air Aran and former independent senator. And I'm joined on the line by environmental journalist John Gibbons. So, John, your view first on that question. Do we ever need to fly internally on this island?
Good morning, Claire. Yeah, as you say, we're a pretty small island, and particularly on the west coast, we have we've got Shannon, we've got Kerry, we've got Donegal, and we've got Knock Airport. So we have a ribbon of airports, and some of these airports are within 100, 120 kilometres of one another. So they're actually overlapping with one another. And I think the second and really important thing to understand about these regional airports is that they're competing with sustainable forms of transport. So, for example, if you have a highly subsidised airline route between, for argument's sake, between Kerry and Dublin, that is competing with the train service and that is competing with bus services. So I guess the question really in a climate emergency that we have to ask ourselves is, do we really need to fly these internal flights on what, as you say, is a very small island? And it's also important to say we've invested billions in over the last decade and more in a motorway network so that not every corner of our island, but most of the country is now connected by a high quality motorway. And of course, we need to be investing far more in our train service. But these goals and objectives are actually undermined by continuing to support regional aviation.
Okay, well, let's see what Padraig says now. You're the founder of a regional airline, not in the business anymore, but you do have a view on this. I mean, do you think at this stage, given what John has just said there, that we need domestic flights in Ireland?
I think we need domestic flights until such time as we got a viable alternative, quite frankly. I think that's really, really important. Like, for example, and John makes some very good points, we needed a domestic service between Galway and Dublin. That was until we got a dual carriageway, until the rail service improved. It's only improved a little bit, but the road service improved significantly. Hence, there's no need for a Galway-Dublin service. I would argue strongly that there is a need for a Donegal-Dublin service, quite frankly, because Donegal is effectively an island on Ireland. It can take you the best part of 5 hours to go from here to Gweedore, for example. Mm-hmm. And that's really important. And a lot of people in Donegal used to use and still use the air service to get to hospital. People who are with cancer, chemotherapy and all of those type of things. So until there is a viable alternative in place, I think we need it. But fundamentally, I actually agree with what they're doing in France in relation to 2.5 hours. And I believe John is right that over time, once we have got a viable alternative in place, then we actually would move away from regional flights in Ireland.
You heard what John said there, that by, you know, subsidising these airports, we're actually undermining the climate-friendly measures or the climate-friendly ways that people could travel.
Yes and no. Like, for example, just looking up some notes here, the European Environmental Agency in 2020 came out with a report that 72% of all of the emissions, CO2 emissions and so on, come from roads. Only 13% comes from aviation, and transport is only 25% of total EU emissions. In other words, aviation is 3%, 3.5% of the total emissions altogether. So what we need to do, in my view, is we need to actually, yes, improve our road structures. The other thing we need to do is obviously have much more fuel efficient cars, but we need public transport. That is, to me, the key answer. Good rail, road access, bus access. So you have more people on rather than one person in a car. And also, I was looking up some notes here in relation to Dublin and congestion in Dublin. Just in relation to person hours working, in the next 10 years, it's going to cost, in loss of salaries, over 2 billion euros. That's the Department of Transport's figures. People stuck in cars. So our infrastructure is totally, totally wrong. We need to get that right. And then we'll gradually move out of reliance to, for some people, on aviation from a regional perspective.
John, what do you say to all that?
Well, I think first of all, I would obviously agree with a number of the points that Padraig has made there, for sure. And to broaden it out briefly, Claire, I think we have an overall problem with aviation. For example, the last full figures we have, say, for 2019, 35 million passenger movements through Dublin Airport. That's one airport on one small island, an island with a population of 5 million, generating 35 million passenger movements. Now, of course, we're all aware that there's certain important and vital passenger movements, like in relation to medical emergencies and so on. But I will bet that 90% of those flights are, if you like, discretionary flights. And in many cases, by the way, it's the top few percent that are over-consuming aviation. And of course, aviation wouldn't be over-consumed if it were charged the actual costs associated with it, because as we know, aviation receives enormous subsidies from the Irish taxpayer, for example, hundreds of millions of euros in duties and taxes foregone on aviation fuel, on taxes on tickets, not to mention the investment. The Irish taxpayer makes huge investments into regional and national airports. So this is a massive subsidy to keeping ticket prices down, because many people there will wonder, how can you get flights, you know, out of Dublin for 20 euros to London when it costs more than that to get the train to Cork?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is because of skewed policies, and these are related, as I say, to massive subsidies for aviation.
But that's a slightly different issue to flying internally on the island. I mean, do you think people who are flying from Dublin to Donegal are doing it because it's a leisure break and they can afford to?
No, I agree. I mean, within the island, the question really is, does it make sense? This goes back to where we started. Does it make sense to have internal aviation on an island this size? Now, Donegal, I mean, Padraig has picked obviously a very remote example, Donegal, but there's also an airport in Derry, for example. And I mean, what's to stop people simply driving to Derry to take the airport from there? So I don't think that the solution on an island of our size is to have, as I say, a ribbon of regional airports. And particularly to encourage internal flying. I see, for example, there are moves at the moment to restore the Dublin to Cork air link, which
yeah,
was closed down.
Yeah, there were interesting comments. And Padraig, you might come in on this as well. So Kenny Jacobs was talking to the Irish Examiner, and he was talking about the Dublin-Cork route. Now, that route was stopped when the motorway came up to a very high standard, the M8, back in 2011. But he's saying that it could be resurrected. I mean, is that something there? I mean, you're taking a critical view of this. Do you think that's necessary, given that the road is so good?
I absolutely think that's a crazy idea. I don't think it's necessary at all. Quite frankly, the road is good. You've got a pretty good rail service from Cork to Dublin. Could be better, but it certainly is improving. And what I would suggest for Cork Airport, quite frankly, to reduce the 35 million, 33, 34 million that John says they're flying in out of Dublin, which is correct, and get some of those flying out of Cork and start transatlantic out of Cork. That's better than a Cork-Dublin.
I think John wants to stop them flying altogether, John. Am I right?
I think that's fair, Claire. Not to stop all flying. What we need to do, and this again is based on the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, they reckon that in order for us to achieve our overall emissions reductions targets that are essential, by the way, these are not optional targets, we probably globally need to reduce aviation by maybe 80 to 90%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sounds draconian, but if you go back 50 years to 1970, you'll find the amount of flying being done in Ireland was 80 to 90%. In fact, about 90% less than today. And strangely, people, you know, this wasn't some massive hardship on people. This was simply that flying at that time was considered to be a luxury. And admittedly, it was too expensive, but it was considered to be an extravagant luxury. And in today's situation, we have the exact opposite, where flying is now basically, in terms of the environmental and climate impacts of it, flying is far too cheap.
Let's talk about private jets, because France has taken action on that as well, Padraig, when it comes to the shorter journeys. And we might not be ready or willing yet to ban commercial flights from Dublin to Donegal, to use your example. But private jets, should they be banned?
No, I don't think private jets should be banned. I think it's a populist request, quite frankly, or a debate. I think there should be charges on private jets to compensate in relation to investment or climate change loss or whatever. That's what I think should happen. You had about 6,500 private jet flights last year in relation to about 240,000 flights we had overall. It's a very, very small number. A very small number of people use it. But
very,
I do believe
very wealthy and privileged people.
Exactly, very wealthy and privileged people. And I think they should make their contribution, but I don't think they should be banned. I think that's a very draconian type of a proposed solution for all of this.
John, should you ban them for the short haul?
Well, okay. I mean, first of all, sir, let's look at where the argument for private jets is that they give, you know, flexibility where regular services are not available. Yet, when I looked at the data, say, out of Ireland, the most heavily trafficked private jets out of Ireland are flights from Dublin to London by private jet. Now, Dublin to London is incredibly well serviced by a commercial airline. So the idea that people have to use their private jet to get from Dublin to London is just crazy. It's an indulgence. And again, people can get away with this because of the fact that they're not paying either the correct taxation, number one, and they're certainly not paying the massive carbon impacts. And it's very easy.
But Pádraig is saying they should be made pay the price. Now, if they do, should they still be allowed to fly from Dublin to London, as you say?
I mean, you know, do we get into a situation where we actually outright ban? I'm not really an advocate of outright bans. What I'm an advocate of is that we our price signals need to reflect the reality that we find ourselves in. And in a climate emergency, private aviation, if you like, is the very tip of the iceberg of things we shouldn't be doing. And that's really what we need to do is to kind of start with the very worst things. The things that, you know, per hour, there's probably no more damaging activity that any person can do than, you know, in terms of carbon emissions, than get into a private jet and fly from point A to point B.
We could really send a signal here, Pádraig, on this. I mean, we were talking earlier on about the smoking ban back in the day. We led the rest of the world on that, smoking indoors. Why not do the same for private jets? We're a small island. You don't need to use them.
I think smoking ban is totally different to using private jets, and the small number of people who use them, and a lot more people percentage-wise were smoking at that time, and thankfully it's reduced some degrees.
We're all going to be affected by climate change, every one of us.
Yeah, absolutely. A good point. But in relation to private jets, it's a really, really small tip of the iceberg. I think the big thing, quite frankly, is actually cars. And I would agree with John and others who say that internal air services in Ireland need to be transitioned out of that type of a scenario. That's where the big win is. And you go for the big win. And actually, that's low-hanging fruit, in my view.
Well, but is a private jet, though, not low-hanging fruit? Because one typical average journey in a private jet, it emits the same amount of carbon as a car doing 40,000 kilometres.
I don't think you should start banning people from moving or travelling if they want to do so, by whatever means they want to do so. Now, me and you and lots of others, we don't use private jets. We never will use private jets. There's a very, very small number of people who use private jets, in my opinion. But I think they should pay a reasonable fee for that. We're an open democracy. People can travel. People can move around. But I think they should pay for that privilege to do so.
Mm-hmm. So leave them with the choice, but make them pay, John.
I think that's a fair compromise, and again, I agree with Pádraig on this. I don't think that private jets should be banned outright, but I think we should send as a society a very strong signal to say that these cause enormous damage. And as I say, it's very easy to minimise things by saying it's only this percent and it's only that percent, and it isn't, by the way. And I heard what Pádraig said about the low-hanging fruit. The fact is we need to get through the whole orchard here. It isn't just about picking this and that. We've got to get our emissions down right across the board. And if I said to somebody, right, you know, you can't use your car, I mean, that'd be a terrible imposition. But that is a sacrifice. But to say to somebody, you shouldn't use private aviation, that's no sacrifice at all. In fact, in most cases, the private aviation that we're describing here is wealth signalling. It's basically saying, I've got more money than you and I'm more important than you. And probably in a time of social solidarity on the climate emergency, we need to say to people who feel they're that much more important than us that they can, you know, emit carbon with impunity, that we're not going to stop you doing it, but we're certainly going to make you pay an appropriate price for that luxury.
All right, and I think you both agree on that people who want to use private jets for whatever reason, that they should pay. John Gibbons and Pádraig O'Cadogh, thank you both. We'll take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.